Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Today is Tuesday, and as you know, on Tuesday, this is the day that we basically do the show that's entitled From the Pulpit to the Couch, where you will receive biblical teachings from a pastor and others as we basically focus on the Word of God, as it's not to offend, it's not to disrespect, but to edify, educate, and provide information from, like I said, a pastor or one or a minister or individuals with biblical teachings that provide the biblical teachings, and myself, Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, today's topic kind of follows some of the other shows that we've been talking about when it comes to some of the different subject matters. And we're still talking about faith. And one of the reasons we're talking about faith is because a lot of times individuals either may have a misperception of faith in regards to what it means. A lot of times individuals challenge things. And it's, I don't want to say it's funny, but I find it quite intriguing because I just had a conversation with someone as it relates to faith, and it seems like it's when we're in trouble or things are not going as planned. It's when many of us, whether we are a believer or a non-believer, run into trouble. Now, the definition of faith, even as a noun, means complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It also means a strong belief in God or in the doctrine of the religion based on spiritual apprehensions rather than proof. I like that, rather than proof. So let me log on. The first person that I have on the air, let me give me 1 second. Good morning. This is Jeanette, number ending in 32. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate you. I don't know what Blackwell is. I tried to call him, but he kind of went to voicemail. But, you know, today's topic, Lady T, activating your faith, like I was sharing with the listeners, is kind of piggybacking off of some of the other stuff that we've been talking about as it relates to some of the shows. Now, when it comes to the definition of faith, many have different perceptions. You know, Tammy, I've heard things and heard sayings such as, have ye little faith, and one having the faith of a mustard seed. But, and even when we had the guest call on the show yesterday, well, last week, and he was talking about faith and how we're supposed to not have, or a lot of people with measuring faith. Now, but when it comes, when individuals are in trouble, or let's say somebody have passed away, are they going in troubled times? It get out of control. And with what's going on in our world today, Lady T, we need to activate and tap into our faith because we're seeing things that we've never seen before, but it's already documented in the Bible. So tell the listeners who you are.
Hi, I'm Elder Lady Robinson.
Okay. Now, so all you want them to know, you Elder Lady Robinson. Now, when we talk about this topic, activating your faith, even from a first lady's position, and being in the church and being a first lady, what is your take on this? Because a lot of times, and I was just talking to a person and, you know, talking about church, and sometimes individuals, especially when somebody died, and they'd be like, well, my mother died, my father died, they're mad at God. They don't want to go back to church. And we know that church is a place of worship. So it's not about church.
Right.
It's not about religion. It's more about relationship, meaning, do you trust this person? If you trust them then, why you don't trust them now? And, you know, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, first of all, you have to be careful not to confuse faith with feelings, because as human beings, we have feelings and we go through things. If someone died, we're going to cry. We're going to feel hurt. You know, we're going to mourn. It's because it's just natural to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some people, you're right, do blame God. And these are people that have faith. They say they have faith. They say they have a relationship. They do blame God. But then that's because, you know, they're so hurt in the moment, and God understands. But, you know, it's important that you still maintain this faith. It's kind of hard because, like I said, we are, after all, human beings. We're going to make mistakes. We are flawed. And, you know, God is the only perfect being. So we just can't confuse that with our feelings, because just because, okay, say someone died in my family and I cry over it and I'm sad, that doesn't mean I don't have faith. That just means someone close to me died and I'm hurting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a lot,
it doesn't mean I don't. Yeah.
I'm listening to what
it doesn't saying. Mean that. Okay, it doesn't mean that I don't have faith. That just means that someone close to me died and I'm in mourning, you know. And mm-hmm. soon I'm gonna get over it because I have faith that God is gonna bring me through it. So that's where the faith kicks in. He's gonna bring you through it. He's gonna ease the pain, you know. He's gonna restore your heart and everything. That's where you have faith and believe that, you know, God is going to make everything all right. So
mm-hmm.
it has nothing to do with me mourning, you know, because I'm going to mm-hmm. mourn. And also, you know, like you said, some people, their faith, they try to measure it, and they try to measure their faith, and they're, you know, they'll go through things and be like, oh, I know God gonna bring me out, knowing they ain't ever prayed a day in their life or nothing. But they like to call on God when it's convenient for them. So that's not having faith. That's just, you know, you want to call on Him when it's convenient. And if God bring you out, and it's not necessarily God bring you out, maybe you done called a break. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, God did it for me. God did it for me. But you don't have no faith. So, and then you go right back to doing what you're doing because mm-hmm. you're out of the situation you're in. But we have to maintain our faith. Faith is a constant thing, and it should grow, and your faith should grow. It shouldn't be less. It should be more. As you go through life, as you go through things, your faith should grow. And that's mm-hmm. what, you know, people don't understand. And I know I've been through lots of things in my life, and I've always had faith that God will bring me out or He'll do it for me, and He has. And some things I'm still in, He hasn't brought me out, but I have faith and believe that one day He is going to do it in His timing. And that's another thing we have to understand, that when you have faith, it's in God's time. He's going to move when He wants to move, and He can do what He wants to do. It's not when we want Him to move. It's not when we say, you know, God, you better do this now. No, we don't demand anything. We ask of Him what we will, and if our ways please Him, then He will do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, they misquote Scripture, but they miss the important parts of the Scripture, where you have to do your part in order for Him to do His part, you know.
Well, you know what, Tammy? That takes us to a lot of different things, because you said it, and you said it well. Because I like how you talked about how we confuse faith with feelings, because a lot of times we do that. We want to trust in something that we feel is going to work. We believe it's going to work. It's working for us now. But when it's not working, then we get upset about it. And this also quoted, faith without works is dead. So part of it is we have to do the work. We just can't say, oh, Lord, He's going to do this. He's going to bring me out and all these other different things. Because, again, faith without works is dead. So meaning, what are you doing? What role do you play in this? Another thing, we're talking about this, and I have some information, and this information is basically coming from Learn Religion, and it's how does the Bible define faith? And faith is the fuel of Christian life. And this is not to, because I don't know much about being a Catholic, because I've never been a Catholic. I've never been a Jehovah's Witness. I've never been a Muslim. So I don't know other people's interpretation of faith, and nor am I trying to discredit it. But when we talk about the Bible, because even though there's a lot of different religious practices, there's a lot of misquoted scriptures, and it seems like most of the same religion read the same Bible. And I had a male friend of mine that I knew, and he quoted something else, so he put it on Facebook, and he said, if the word is infallible and unchangeable, why does the Bible app constantly change? And I was like, ooh, that's powerful. because we have individuals changing the words, changing the concepts, providing misinformation, and it's confusing a lot of people. Now, I know Tony said he had something to do today. He was going to try to call in if he could because he had a family matter he had to take care of. And I don't know where Delano is, but I know he's going through some challenges too. So he'll probably be calling if he can, so I get it. So, but I appreciate you calling in because a lot of times we put our faith in man or we put our faith in other people, but we got to be able to trust God because God knew I couldn't do this show by myself. Because I don't have the ability or the spiritual backing to go and try to teach individuals how to activate something. I know what works for me. I know from a therapeutic perspective, but I can't give individuals information from a biblical perspective. Now, what they indicate in this in regards to how does the Bible define faith, is faith is defined as belief with strong conviction, firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof, complete trust, confidence, reliance, devotion. Faith is the opposite of doubt. You know, Tammy, a lot of times we believe in the negative. Well, it ain't going to happen. Or, well, you know, so-and-so this. And we can always bring up and doubt. Doubt sometimes for individuals, we believe that we have more doubt than we have faith. And a lot of times that could be a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible gives us a short definition of faith in Hebrews, and it indicates when we talk about Hebrews 11:1. Do you want to speak on that a little bit, Tammy, how they talk about faith in Hebrews? Because we could talk about Hebrews and Matthew, because I want to go into faith can move mountains, too, because with faith, it's
raining. Faith can move mountains, but again, it goes back to your relationship. I mean, do you really have faith? Because faith is a powerful thing. The Bible also says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that's believing something that's not even there. You know, believing it's going to happen without knowing it's going to happen. You just know that, I already know God's going to do it. But when you do that, do you believe it? And that's where your faith, you have to believe what you're saying. You can't pray to God and say, oh, yes, Lord, I have faith. I know you're going to do it. And then turn around and be like, man, it ain't happening yet. Because now, you know, you're going backwards. So that's not faith.
Correct.
Faith is like, no matter what happens, I know it don't look like it, but I know he's going to do it. Because I know he's going to do it. And, you know, that's the attitude you have to have. That's the attitude I have. And, you know, you'll get distracted because people will be like, oh, you crazy. I don't see how you do this. Oh, da-da-da. Then you just be like, you know what? Hey, it ain't nothing but God, you know. And they don't understand it, but you understand it because you have faith and believe, and you know God's going to bring you out. So you can't let
it break it up.
They can call you. They can call you stupid. They can call you crazy. They can say, oh, I would never do that. Oh, I would have been gone. I would have been left. I would have been done this. No, they wouldn't have been done nothing because they ain't been in that situation. So
you don't know
what you're going to do unless you're in that situation. So you can't speak on it. So my faith is that, you know, I trust God. I believe God. And I know what he's doing. And I've already prayed about the situation. And, you know, I do get upset sometimes. I do be like, you know what, Lord, this is, you know. But he knows my heart. And he knows that I still have faith and believe you're going to do it. I know it's messed up right now, but I know what you promised me. And I believe, and God is not a man that he should lie. So I know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hebrews 11:1. Now is the faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty.
Yes, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about assurance, I tell people we believe in insurance. We'll get insurance on our lives. We get insurance on our cars. We get insurance on certain things. But I would rather have the assurance than to have insurance because the insurance is going to pay you off. Sometimes you got a deductible. But when you got assurance, your life, your belief, you putting your all in all, that's how you know. And when you know who you are and whose you are, that makes a big difference, Tammy. Because we talk about the evidence. Sometimes we let our light shine We let the word work through us because we stand on certain things. So when we start talking about that the faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and that's in the American Standard, but the faith of assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things to see. The thing is, Tammy, when we start talking about when you believe in something that ain't even happened yet, people will think you crazy, but let them think you crazy because
right.
you know. You know.
Right. You already know.
Now,
and when it happens, you be like, damn, because God has to get the glory. That's why it happened in his timing, because he's going to get the glory out of everything he do. And we shouldn't even be expecting to get no glory, because it's not even about us. It's about him always. So we have to be careful with that too. And then God is not concerned about our faith in man. He's concerned about our faith in him, because man is going to continuously let us down. So if you don't have faith and trust in man, okay, but do you have faith and trust in God? That's what he's concerned about. And yes, because even though we don't see him, you know, he said, you know, he said he's the word. So we hold him, we read about him, we read him, we have the word of God, and then we pray to him. And even though we don't see him with our physical eyes, we know that he's there. We can feel his presence, and we know his Holy Spirit is there, and we trust and believe, because there's things that nobody, when you've been in places in your life or situations where nobody could have done it but God, there's no way man could have pulled it off, and you know
man.
That God did. And I've
been
in situations.
Man, you giving me cold chills just even thinking about that. On Sunday, I went to one of my coworkers. Is a ordained minister, and he was preaching on Sunday, and he invited me to his church. And you know one thing about me, I'm not flaky. If somebody invite me or they ask me to come somewhere, even if I'm tired, I'll still go. I don't do people like that. And it was interesting to see him in the pulpit with his robe on, and he was talking about what your clothing and being clothed, and he was talking about Genesis. And, I mean, he preached a powerful word on Sunday, and I was very, very proud of him. But then even after he finished preaching, he started acknowledging individuals that came to see him and support him, and he shared a story. And it kind of, because, you know, I'm not sentimental at all, but he almost brought tears to my eyes. But he was sharing with the congregation of, when I was going through, and how a man told me to read Psalm 37, and I stood on that word because I believe God. And he shared how I had left the event an hour before it was even over, only to be found in the parking lot with my Bible, because he didn't know I had my Bible in my car, because I trust God. And me standing on that word and having faith in God, I saw things come to pass. And that makes a big, big difference, because sometimes we think, oh, Lord, when you go come, when you go get me out, this don't feel good. Now, we talk about in regards to what do we hope for, we hope that God is trustworthy and honors his promises, because you said God is a man that he cannot lie. And we can be sure that his promises of salvation and eternal life and a resurrected body will be ours someday, based on who God is. A lot of times, because we can't see God and we can feel his presence, it confuses a lot of people. Now, the second part of the definition, we talk about faith, is what it has to do with acknowledging our problems. God is invisible. We can't see heaven either. Eternal life, which begins with our own individual salvation here on earth, is also something that we cannot see. We don't feel the world moving, but it's moving. I think this is Blackwell. Give me 1 second. Let's see who this is.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing? Number ending in 87.
I'm following you. I'm finding yourself.
Good. I didn't know we were about to pray for you or what. So we were trying to make it work. We're doing the best we can. We're activating your faith. Now, and I'm going to have you start here, Pastor Blackwell. But one thing we learned about God in the Bible is he is incapable of lying, like Tammy said, and his integrity is perfect. Therefore, When we declare the Bible to be true, we can accept that statement based on God's character. Pastor Blackwell, I'm going to let you chime in, and we're going to talk about activating your faith, because in times like these is when we really need to start as a believer and even have some of the non-believers understand what that means.
I mean, so. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Sorry, I'm a little late. I apologize. I had a few things going on. Miss Jeanette, can you give me that question again?
Well, I didn't give you a question. We're talking about activating your faith. And I said, even as a believer and non-believer, as with times that we're seeing things that we see going on in this world today, and we talked a lot about faith, and faith without works is dead. Tammy indicated how we have to stop and not confuse faith with feelings, because we start talking about how we feel, and there's a lot of confusion. And a lot of times we run to the Lord, we say, Lord, we need you, Jesus, da 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 da. But when things don't go the way we wanted to, we get mad. So we're talking to the individuals on the radio today in regards to activating your faith. Now, I have this, Pastor Blackwell, and I can let you pick up from here. I have some information that talks about three keys to activating God's promises in your life. Because, and even Tony has talked about the word. We got to read the word. Many people don't read, don't understand, don't get it. Now, there are thousands, if not thousands, of promises in the Bible for believers. Now, here are just a few well-known promises. God said, I will not leave you nor forsaken you, and that's in Joshua 1:5. Then, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's in James 4:8. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's in Psalms 37:4. Now, Pastor Blackwell, we start talking about activating your faith. A lot of times individuals think that people are crazy and they don't believe these things because they can't see these things. So when we talk about activating your faith, which is something that you had indicated last week when we was on the air, that's how we got this topic, that's what we're talking about today.
You know, to activate your faith only takes 1 millisecond. Doesn't take a whole bunch. Trust, believe, read, and react. Trust in God's word, believe in God's word, react to what you read, and then do it. Them four things, if you put those four things together, you don't have to worry about activating your faith. It's already in action. We just don't take time to move towards faith. We don't activate it because we won't read it. And the biggest problem is we don't read. And then secondly, I'm going to say it, it's going to make some people mad. Most people go to church to hear the choir. Let me say that again. Let me try that one more time. Most folks go to church to hear the choir. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't grow on what you don't know.
Ooh, like that.
You gotta have. Let's get in the bottle. You gotta have. Can you bring me some? Some Cheeto Puff. Yeah, so you got to have all of that.
Now, I'm going to throw some things out there, Blackwell, because I see you got a lot going on right now.
Cool.
When we talked about, or I just indicated, the three keys to activating your faith.
My throat was dry, and I just needed to get a soda.
Oh, no problem.
So
we have to also not only, I like how Blackwell talked about trust, believe, react, and do it. But we also have to maintain a soft heart. Even in Hebrews, the writer reminds us about the children of Israel after he brought them out of Egypt. He explains how their hearts were hard and rebellious. They tested God. A lot of times we try to test God because we want him to prove himself. But by that same token, even throughout the Bible, some of the words and some of the scriptures, it's always, why do we have to be so rebellious and challenge things? Now, when it goes to that their hearts always wandered from him and they didn't know his ways, that's in Hebrews. Pastor Blackwell, why do we do that? Just why we got to be so hard-headed?
And here's something. You said something. You said they always challenge him, correct?
I said
right.
That. We always were rebellious.
Mm-hmm. They always want to test him. But here's the idea. How much can you test him? They say, okay, we're hungry. He gave them quail. We don't have no water. He gave them water out of a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how are we going to know it's you? Okay, look up in the sky. You'll see a cloud by day. And,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see something by night. I forgot. And a pillar by night. That's how you're going to know it's me. Every
mm-hmm.
time they ask, he done it. And just
mm-hmm.
think about it. Every time they ask, he done it. He never let them go went without having. And here's why
mm-hmm.
I say that. We have everything we need, but we don't practice activating our faith because we are scared to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know he won't hurt us. But we're scared to put it out there. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
We're scared to trust God totally. Scared.
That's true. And you know what, Pastor Blackwell? And that's another thing. We talk about activating our faith, and we got to work on that fear. Another one is reject unbelief. Hebrews 3:12-13 continues, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. Lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Now, sin deceives us so that truth seems like a lie and lies seem like the truth. You know, a lot of times, Pastor, when we talk about this activating our faith is, you know, and like you talked about the fear, Tammy and I talked about doubt earlier, is we get so confused and it's hard for us to reject the unbelief because sometimes even when we're talking about telling the truth, people will believe a lie faster than they will the truth. And people will add something to it, make something up, you know. Can you speak on that a little bit in regards to, because if we're living in unbelief, we cannot expect to see the promises of God in our life.
You know, people will always be people. They're going to seemingly always do what they're going to do, but you got to learn how to trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to always fall away. But you got to
mm-hmm.
get it back by putting your faith and your trust in God. Always. I don't know what it is, but they always seem to do that, Jeanette. But they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
mm-hmm.
come back.
You know, and that's true because sometimes we say that even in older people. I was talking to my daughter this morning, and she was talking to me. I'm going to stop laughing because I know I kind of pissed you off yesterday too. But combine the word promises of God with faith, and it talks about Hebrews 4:2 explains about the people of Israel, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, and the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. My daughter was talking to me today, and she was on my case this morning. It's first thing she said is, you better not get married in the next 6 months. I said, excuse me? She said, you always talking about you don't want to live in sin and you don't want to do this. She said, you need to stop doing what you're doing. And I was listening to her, and she was giving me some advice. I said, so is this what you do? She was like, you start off fast and you be all interested in people, and as soon as you get on as soon as they get on your nerve, you ghost them. And you need to stop. Delano, Miss Letitia was getting on my nerve this morning. She was really getting on my nerve. But
she told you the truth.
Yeah, she told me the truth. She told me the truth. She told me to slow my roll. She said, slow your roll, Mom, slow your roll. She said, because you ain't right. You ain't right. Slow your roll. And it was funny because when I called you yesterday and I was listening, because you know I've been knowing you long enough, I know in your voice and in your tone. And I was like, okay. So, but activating, let's get back to activating your faith. How can we start tapping into that? And we always talk about trust God. And, I mean, and like I said, even like I said with Leticia, even though my daughter is very wise in a whole lot of ways, and even though I am the mother, I still respect what she has to say because I know I can trust her. I know I can believe her. Sometimes I react, even though she ain't God, and sometimes if I do some of the things she tell me, my situations probably wouldn't be as bad as some of the situations I get myself into. I understand and I get it. Tammy, do you go through that sometimes with your adult children?
What? They say, yeah.
I know you.
When they,
I know you.
My daughter, yeah, they tell me lots of things, and I'd be like, whatever. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, see? Yeah. That's because they watch and they pay attention. And if you
mm-hmm.
fall off, they'll put you back on track because what you've instilled in them is going to come out back on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you taught me, so I'm just letting you know.
Oh, yeah. And they will send you right back to the Bible and send you right back to your knees. Because we start talking about activating things, sometimes we want it when we want it. And when we don't want it, or it's not convenient, it's like, well, get out of my way right now. I won't be bothered with you right now. I want to do this. I want to do that. And sometimes, not only with activating your faith, we have to preach it as well as teach it, which is one of the things that where I was leading up to talking about when we have adult children is passing on blessings. As another thing, when we talk about activating your faith, because there are practical ways to live out your faith, blessing others, hoping in heaven, releasing and forgiveness, giving grace and living with integrity. Pastor Blackwell, a lot of times when we see these things, it's not like people are trying to be perfect because we know only God is perfect. But how do we pass these things on to try to get other individuals to learn how to or to believe and trust God by activating their faith?
Well, one, we got to get them involved in some type of Bible study. That's the most important thing in the world. Get our children involved in some Bible study. Talk to them about Bible study. Talk to them about God. They need to know how to read their word and understand their word because that is the key. And I tell people all the time, your relationship with Christ is the key. It's not my
mm-hmm.
key. It's your key. And a lot of
mm-hmm.
people don't understand that your relationship with God is your relationship. Not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you, hey, you need to work on your relationship, now you need to work on yours. Who are you to tell me, okay, don't worry about it. I ain't got nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what I do. You don't know what I do. One of the biggest things, one of the biggest problems I have, and I'm going to say it on the radio, and some people I used to have and have in my life, I know they don't pray.
Mm-hmm.
I know every night when they get into bed, they ain't said two words to God. They ain't said good night. And if you cut the chase, they ain't going to say good morning. But yet still, they sit up there and tell you, oh, I pray. I like you a lie and the truth ain't in you. I watch you just get in the bed. You ain't even got in a prone position, reverence God, and tell him thank you for all day. Nothing. Get out the bed and tell the Lord thank you. You can't do nothing else. Get out the bed and say that.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is so, so true. And that kind of goes into, Pastor, what you're talking about is what is real faith. Because we have a lot of fake, phony individuals out there, and we talked about that a little bit last week when you guys were talking about, I forgot how I had wrote it down to you, not just talking about fake Christians, but coward Christians. because a lot of times people don't realize people are watching you. Now, with what is real faith, and why are most people trapped by fears and worry? Because if you have faith and if you really trust God, you're not going to worry. And when we talk about fear, it's not that people are afraid of things. Some things we know we shouldn't be playing with. But because they lack faith, but what is faith? And is it possible positive thinking, a feeling, one's church affiliation, and the belief that Jesus died for your sins? Is it confidence? Is it hope? Or is it something far more? And why do millions misunderstand this subject? So, Pastor Blackwell, I'm going to ask you a question. Why is this so misunderstood?
Because we don't read our Bible. Because
we don't read our Bible.
You can't know what you don't read. You can't know what you don't read. If you don't read your Bible, you won't know.
That is true. And
it don't take a rocket science.
Mm-hmm. And in any case, the Bible states, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And like you, sometimes we're so busy trying to please man, we don't even think about pleasing God. And this is an incredible statement, but it's in the Bible.
Pastor,
can we talk about
we want to please God, but guess what? We don't know how because we have not read our Bible. We have not read our Bible to understand how do I please God in this body.
You know, you just gave me a topic for next week.
Well, you'll learn how to talk about it by yourself.
No, I'm not. I do my best. Tammy, when we handled it, Tammy and I was on it. Now, when we talk about what the Bible says in regards to you need to, it says, the Bible says that you need not lack faith in any of these areas, but you can develop real faith. Now, as I was talking about activating, developing, and you're talking about reading the Bible, and the Bible says that most people in the age preceding Christ's return will not have sufficient faith to confidently claim any of these or other promises from God's word. Now, Pastor Blackwell, is that true? Is it going to wait? Are people going to wait to the end? Or, you know, we've seen some individuals that they're older and they still read their Bible. I still have my mother's Bible. And my mother's Bible was so wore out, Delano, it's ridiculous. So all the pages are falling out. You know, she had stuff highlighted, sticky notes here and piece of paper here. And every now and then I'll try to figure out where she was going because she got dates by some of them. And she was all over the place with that book. But when we start talking about that, what about that in regards to Christ's return, that many will not have sufficient faith to confidently claim any of these or other promises from God's word?
It's just like anything else in life. If you haven't been doing it, how are you going to pick up start doing it now?
So in other words, it's like playing sports. You ain't going to just mess around and be on no starting team or start in the NFL, the NBA, or any other type of sports if you ain't going to practice.
Now,
when we start talking about faith found when Christ comes, Pastor, when we're talking about the world is in trouble and problems are escalating everywhere on the planet, we got problems in our home, we got problems in our community, we got problems in our church, we got problems in a lot of places. So how and what do you want the listeners to know when we start talking about activating their faith so that we can be prepared?
Say that again.
I was talking about the problems that we have that's going on and with activating our faith. And when we start talking about the problems in our home, the problems in our community, problems in our church, we got so many problems. And you were talking about that people not reading their Bibles, and we talked a little bit about how sometimes people will wait to the end. But it indicates that it is clear that many Americans don't know their Bible. And they did a study, and I want to put this out there. They looked at the number of recent studies, and they indicated that more than 60% of Americans can't even name half of the Ten Commandments or four of the Gospels of the New Testament. And that some 80%, including born-again Christian believers, believe that God helped those who help themselves, which is a direct quote from the Bible. Ooh, that's bad. What a shame. What a horrible indication of most blessed nations on earth. And it's the single greatest reason why so little genuine faith is to be found. You said it, Pastor. People don't read their Bible. Now, but Christ said that he would build his church, and he promised that it would never be destroyed. And that's in Matthew 16:18. His church, God's true church, is where people do have faith, according to the Bible's definition. But Blackwell, what can we do to help individuals? And I know they gotta want our help. I get that. But what can we do?
Preach it. Teach it.
Mm-hmm. Preach. Teach it. Mm-hmm.
Give it.
Where you going?
Okay. Okay. Preach it. Teach it. Give it. Tammy, anything you want to add to this?
Oh no, I'm just listening. I'm ordering food right now, so I just been listening.
Okay, girl, order me a steak.
Now, when we start talking about this, and like I said, with activating it, tapping into it, knowing where to go, because even when we start talking about these things, and a lot of times individuals say, well, you know, well, why should I believe it now? He wasn't there for me then, and when this was going on. But we want to make sure that we start talking about faith and activating it and always seek God's will, because no promise of God can be claimed unless you've learned what the promise is. And God promises something and does not promise others. Therefore, the only way to know whether he has made a particular promise or not is continually study his word. And just because he made that promise in the Bible doesn't mean he's going to have it for you right now, too. Because one of the things that we do is we want it right now, right now. And we may not always be ready right now. So we just have to be mindful of that. And even when we start talking about activating your faith, igniting your faith, you know, but the one thing, and like I said, and we're doing this topic, is I wanted to have some type of form. And if people want to call in that are listening, you don't have to be scared, because a lot of times individuals are scared to speak. But you can call in at 516-387-1914, because I definitely want to hear what you have to say. Because a lot of times individuals are scared to say anything. But if you don't know, you just don't know. But don't be afraid to learn. That's one of the things, Blackwell, is we should not be afraid to learn.
Why, most of them are.
But that don't make it right just because most of them are. So even though you are right now, don't make you have to stay that way.
All right, we're good.
Now, even though you said that most of them are, here you are a pastor. Here you are. What do you do to try to help your congregation when you see that they're having little faith or you see that they're not believing?
Well, what I like to do, I like to go back to the basics. How do you obtain faith?
Mm-hmm.
How do you obtain faith? And we start right there. We start with how do you obtain faith, which we go back to the scripture. We obtain faith through the word of God, through the preached word of God. And let's get it clear, through the preached word of God, not the singing. Let me try that again. Not the singing, but the preached word of God. It is the preaching that you're going to hear, that's going to lead you into salvation. Singing is good. Don't get me wrong. Everybody likes a good song. But that ain't gonna hold you and give you substance.
Mm-hmm.
It's preaching. So you go through and you teach them. First is to preach word of God. Then, after you talk to them about the preached word of God, you tell them, faith cometh by hearing. And you say to them straight up, when you come to church, clear your mind. Get all that garbage out your mind. Clear your mind. Don't think about nothing.
But I have a question, Pastor. I have a question. I hear what you're saying. But what do you do when you go to church and the preacher is preaching, but the preacher is not preaching the word of God? What do you do?
Hold on. First of all, let me interrupt you. You asked me what I do with my church. See?
Correct.
I can't.
But, you know, something because I had a question. I had a question because, you know, I've had that experience where I may not have known what the man was talking about saying. You know, he could be up there saying, and I know, Tammy, you remember this one. Tammy, I'm going to throw this one in. I heard the story of how Pastor Estelle had somebody come preach and told you guys that this person was good and this person was this, and the man got up there and started talking about Humpty Dumpty. How did you learn to do that with Tammy?
He forgot my business. Yeah, he got up and he said it. Yeah, and he talked about pound cake or something. I don't know. He was saying all weird stuff.
I already got up there and said my Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Well, I could be. Now, hold it. If that part of his introduction, and let me say this to you. If that's part of his introduction, did not he just do what he needed to do to get your attention?
I don't think that was part of his introduction.
Well, you wasn't there, so.
Correct.
You don't know.
I wasn't there on that one, but I'm just saying I've been in a church.
Well, you don't know.
And you told me.
Hold on, wait a minute, baby. Wait a minute. Hold on, Jeanette. I'm saying something for a reason. If he's using that as an introduction to introduce his text, that's cool.
I get that.
That's cool. I got no problem with that.
I totally get that.
Because that's how you bring everybody into the room to listen.
Correct. Well, because some pastors, like Joe Osteen, he'll tell a joke. I get that too. But what I'm saying is, when we're trying to learn and we're trying to be fed, we have to also make sure that the person that's feeding us know how to cook.
Well,
they know how to prepare.
Well, I don't know if they know how to prepare, but I do know this. And it's true. You got to get it in your head.
Correct. Because you got to know. Now, I have some information that talks about how can I obtain faith. If I am thirsty, how should I quench my thirst? By my draught of water. But what can I obtain water? It is enough to tell me to go to get some tap or fountain water, and there's no need to explain that the water supplier or where the water is. But when we start talking about hearing the word of God, and I hear what you say, that faith comes by hearing. But when we start talking about that, Pastor Blackwell, and that's why I was throwing it out there, is a lot of times individuals want to go to the church and blame it on the church, and it's not about going to the church and blame it on the church, because, like you said, we have to get into our word. We have to get into the Bible. But we also have to be able to understand it, and if we are hearing it from someone else, we want to make sure, I don't know what the sound is, I think that's Delano.
That's me.
Okay, and if we are hearing it, we want to make sure that what we're hearing is what we're supposed to be hearing. Now, Tammy, I put Delano on mute for a little while because I can hear something, and I'll put it back on in a minute. But activating your faith, Tammy, you have just basically got a higher position also. What do you want the listeners to know, and how would you teach individuals in regards to how to activate their faith? Because, like I said, we have a lot of lost souls out there. We have a lot of individuals that do want to come back into the church. We have a lot of parents that are praying for their children and their loved ones. and we have faith that God is going to bring them through, bring them out, what can we do to give individuals some hope and so that they know we are not lying and we are not playing?
Well, they can read the word. Everything that you do is in, and what you read, it's in the word. I mean, if you have faith, it's in the word. Everything about faith is in the word, how to apply it, how to get it, how, you know, how to use it, how to apply it to your life. Everything about faith is in the word. And what we don't want to do is rely on somebody else's faith. Don't base what God is doing for you off what he's doing for somebody else, because that's not the case.
Girl, I like that, borrowed faith. Can I borrow a little bit of your faith?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because some people, they think, you know, they're entitled to what God has given you, they're entitled to. And if God don't give it to them, then that's what they base their faith off. Excuse me, faith off of. And that's not the case. You can't base your faith off what God is doing for somebody else, because what he's going to do for you is different. It's not the same. You just wait on what he has. You have faith and believe on what you ask him for, that he's going to deliver, because he is, if you have faith and believe, and if you trust him, and after you have your faith, know that he's going to do it regardless of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to remain true, and you have to remain trustful. You know, you have to trust him. You just have to trust him and know that he's going to do it without a doubt, no matter what.
Correct.
Like, I already know he's going to do it. I ain't worried about it. I know everything's messed up right now. I know bills ain't paid. I know, you know, my car is about to get taken. I know my house ain't paid. I know I need to pay this, that, and the other, but I trust him. I know he's going to send something right on time. And you just got to have faith and believe and keep praying and knowing that he's going to do that. And that's what faith is. You just got to know without a doubt, no matter what's happening, that he's going to do it. And that's it. Don't base it off nobody else.
Correct. And that goes back into that, won't he do it? You know, I remember seeing that little thing just dancing, and they just celebrating and praising him and worshiping. You know, and like Delana was saying, we need to give honor to God and reverence to God in the morning for waking us up and for when we go to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, let me make it through another night. And a lot of times we take God for granted, and we need
That's
to
true.
Stop doing that. We really need to stop doing that. Now, I want to speak a little bit because and I'm going to let Delano finish this out. But I have some information, because we talked about activating it, but we also have to grow in our faith. And this is written, and it's on billygrams.org, and it talks about 9 ways to grow in your faith. Now, we talk about growing in our faith. This is some of the things that they indicate. First of all, we got to know how to love. You're not going to grow in anything if you don't know how to love. Also, we have to not only know how to love, but joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and that's in Philippians 4:4, because it's easy to rejoice when things are going our way. It's a different story when life is hard. But followers of Jesus are called to have joy all the time, not just when life is good. We also have to have peace. You know, Tammy, like the word love, peace is a word that has become casual and hard to define. But true peace comes from God, and there's nothing like it. We got to have peace in our lives.
Oh, no.
There is
nothing
have
like
it. Girl, peace. Patience. Living in this fast-paced world can give you a short fuse. Still, impatience isn't worth something to brush off as a minor personality flaw. If you find yourself getting annoyed, worried, or intolerant while waiting on people, imagine how much more those negative emotions can escalate when you're waiting on the Lord. But it's funny, because I just got accused where somebody came into my office and said, and filed a complaint, said that I was arguing and yelling at a client in front of everybody else, a woman that I didn't know.
Wow.
You've been knowing me for 12 years. You ain't never seen me argue and yell at nobody. And when my friend was talking to me about it, and I thought about it later, he was like, well, do you think maybe you, nope, because that ain't my character. Only two people can make me argue and yell, and that's Delano and my son, because them two know how to get it under my skin. So I'm going to click him on that one, because they the only two that can make me argue and yell. But I ain't going to yell at no client that I don't know. That don't even make sense.
Right.
Another one is kindness. We got to implement kindness and goodness. To practice goodness, you first must consider and you must know that God called us to have true and pure thoughts in regards to the goodness and faithfulness. Now, we got to have gentleness, and we also have to have self-control. And with the self-control, with so many day-to-day temptations and frustrations, it can be hard to maintain self-control. Whether you at home, at work, on the road, there are a few things we have to keep in mind. We all will be tempted, but we don't have to give in. Because we start talking about our faith, sometimes we need to distance ourselves from whatever is tempting us. And in Corinthians 10:13, it says that God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. And that also has to be your faith. Blackwell, I just knocked you back on. Anything else you want the listeners to say?
Jeanette read some things off that was real nice, very kind, considerate. But the bottom line is, you can't activate something you don't know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for you to activate anything you don't know nothing about. I say that to say this. Every family has that. Everyone in God's family has somebody who's going through something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when it comes time to activating their faith, they don't know. They don't know what they're doing 90% of the time. They don't know what's going on. And if you look at them, they don't even know why they're doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, faith is important in the life of the believer. And I say that to say this, Jeanette. When you got faith, you may worry a little bit, but you ain't going to stay with it all night.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. When you got faith, yeah, the time, it's going to look rough, it's going to get dark, but you'll come out. A lot of people don't understand. God never told us we would have no problems. He never told us we wouldn't have any perplexity. He never told us everything going to be sunshine, ain't going to be no rain. He never told us that. I got a good one for you right now. You ready?
Yes.
Jeanette? Tammy? You ready?
Yes. Yes.
John the Baptist was in prison. Y'all remember, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He's in prison, waiting to be beheaded, waiting to be beheaded. And he sends a message to Jesus, asking the question, are you really the one? Now, what does that tell you? Even the very elite can have some doubt. Let me say that again. Even the very elite can have some doubt. You talk about a man who baptized Jesus. He doubted. He didn't know for sure. Now what you? And then I got one more for you. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
Says in the Garden of Gethsemane,
I was just
says,
that.
Nevertheless, but Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me.
Yes.
Even though he knew he was born to die, but he told it. He still prayed, Father, take this cup from me. And then he said, nevertheless, at thy will.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through the process. And sometimes we have to remember, faith, just because you're going through some weak moments don't mean you're a coward. Don't mean you're crushed. Everybody has a bad day. Football player have a bad day. Judge have a bad day. The lawyer have a bad day. The doctor have a bad day. Everybody has a bad day. And the problem is, within the church, we believe we all not have one bad day. You sick. You human. You're going to have a bad day.
That's right.
Let them kids get to acting a fool. Let that bill money get tired. Let that bill money not come in. Please. I tell people all the time, don't get mad. Just stay with it. Don't give up. Stay with it. Everybody has a bad day. So when you activate your faith in Christ, just be memory. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that takes time. Because remember, you walk by, remember the key to it, you walk by faith and not by sight. So guess what? If you're activating your faith, you really activating and learning how to walk. Pick that one up out your Bible. That'll come back with you.
Well, we're going to end the show, and I want to thank you.
I know you are.
And Lady T. Robinson for joining me here at Precious Victims Blog Talk Radio. And by activating your faith, you want to go back to learning to trust God to work. For Him to work in your life, to work in your situation, to work in the lives of others. We got to go back to trusting God. And I want to thank you for joining us here. Now, next week, Pastor Blackwell, you said some things, because I always write things down.
Baby, you can write down whatever you want. You're going to talk about it by yourself, too.
Oh, you must got something to do next week. But how do I please God? So I guess it's going to be me, you, Tammy, maybe Tony can join us then. So, but how do I please God? Sounds like an interesting topic for next week, because if we go activate our faith, if we're going to learn how to trust, we got to learn how to please God and not stop trying to please man.
Can I ask you a question? Please God?
That's what we're going to talk about. We out of time for right
how
now.
How do you please God?
We're going to talk about it next week. And on Monday, we're going to be talking about stop picking at your pain. So, Blackwell will come back because he's going to want to know if I know the answer. I'm not going to tell him right now. So, until next Tuesday, I will be waiting at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. If you want to join in on a conversation, give us a call. If you have a topic that you want us to talk about, that you want to learn, and you want to know more about, email me at preciouspredicaments@gmail.com, or you can email me at JeanetteAbney@gmail.com. I will be more than willing to share your information and your comments. Until next week or until Monday, remember, you got this. Bye-bye. Thank you, Tammy. Lock one hand up. Thank you. Bye-bye.